Time to bring in the captain, the voice of the Oakland Athletics, a play-by-play voice on the radio. And that is Ken Korak. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, I thought of you guys last night. I really did. I thought of you and Vinny and Ray and doing the games. And I said, it's never easy in the ninth inning. Never easy for the opponent in the ninth inning, and it's 7-2, 7-3 with Olson's home run. And then you've been down this road before, and sort of where you were at last night, and take us through it from your eyes last night.
Well, you're right. I mean, the 27th out is the hardest out to get, as you know, and we've talked about that over the years, Marty. So, and they were fortunate, too, in that, you know, winning the challenge on when Flores threw the ball to second and Crawford was off the bag was big, and then Davis gets hit by a pitch, but the A's, you know, it's uncanny. The fact they've hit three grand slams in the ninth inning or later, two to win a game and one to tie a game, I mean, it's almost unprecedented in the annals of baseball. So, been remarkable. They've been off to a really good start. So, you know, one thing about the A's, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and their lineup is deep. So, totally unexpected. Marty, the last time the A's came back and won a game when they were down five in the ninth inning was back in 1952. So it doesn't happen every day, that's for sure.
No, the great Satchel Paige was part of that one for the St. Louis Browns. But
right.
Look, you, and I've said this about the Giants in the years of torture when Dwayne would talk about it. You can't live like that, coming back in the ninth inning and games like that. But the A's have made a habit this year of doing it and a little bit in the past. But it does reflect you're not getting the lead. And you're not putting it away. You've got to come back and do it. And I don't like to live like that.
It's tough to live that way. Your manager is going to get gray hairs, and so are the fans. But they've done a nice job in winning the close games, Marty. They're 4-0 in the extra inning games. I'm not sure how you feel about it with the runner placed at second base, but they've been really good in those games. And the one-run and two-run decisions, they're 8-2. So they've got a really good bullpen. So they're set up, I think, to win games like that. And especially when you go to the 10th inning with the new rule. There are two things I think are critical. Number one, you have to play great defense, and the A's at the corners are phenomenal with Olson and Chapman. The other thing is that you have to have a lockdown bullpen, and so strikeouts become even more important when the runner is placed at second. And we saw Liam Hendricks last night just blow away the Giants in the bottom of the 10th.
Where did Liam Hendricks come from?
Besides from down under?
Really?
You know,
all of a sudden, yeah, Liam Hendricks is throwing rockets.
He always was a hard thrower. And I don't know if it's analogous, Marty, but, you know, Andrew Bailey, the Giants pitching coach, had a tough time as a starter in the minor league. But once he made the transition to relieving, all of a sudden he blossomed and he was great. He had some excellent years for the A's. So he's always had the arm. And maybe it's an overused thing or a cliche when people talk about a closer's mentality. But Hendricks really has that. I mean, he can let it fly when he's pitching in short relief. And you know, we saw last night what happens when he gets it going. He pitches with a great deal of adrenaline and energy. I'm not sure you can do that every day as a starter, but you can do it as a closer. And you know, one of the best thing that's happened to the A's in the last year and a half has been his emergence. Marty is one of the best closers in the game.
What's your take on the American League West? You know, I've said this on the air. You know, we're lucky to be playing. Cincinnati is postponed today because of a positive COVID test. The Cardinals are probably, they are playing. They're in the seventh inning, winning a game today. Their sixth game of the year. But I've said this, the West, we're lucky to be playing, and I don't see the West up and down in the American League that strong right now. The National League is starting to assert itself a little bit, I'd say, in the West. But what's your take in the West so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's happened has been that the Astros have had a tough time putting a bullpen together. And obviously with the pitching staff, with Verlander hurt, and then they lose Cole and Miley leaves in the offseason, of course. So they're trying to piece together a rotation, and the bullpen is really young. So their team on the field is really good. But from a pitching standpoint, they're scuffling. And I think that, you know, the A's have felt that they've been gaining on the Astros So even an Astro team at full strength, I think the A's to a man would have felt that they could have won the, or they would win the division. It's not over yet, but I think the A's are the best team in the division. The thing, the other thing, too, is that the Rangers have very good starting pitching. So mm-hmm. I think Texas has a pretty good shot to get to the postseason because of that. Lance Lynn has been lights out. He was again last night. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there are teams that have, like the Angels, potentially have a very potent offense. Pitching-wise, you know, they're just so-so. I think the Mariners are the weakest team in the division, so we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But, you know, we've only played a third of the season, but I think clearly right now the A's are the best team in the division.
Let me get a scouting report on you for the Angels, because the Giants have four with the Angels this week. What can we expect? I have no idea. I know Simmons is supposed to be coming back. Fletcher's been playing great ball. I saw that there was a story about that today. Haney is pitching today against the Dodgers, so we may see him later in the week, maybe. Bundy was terrific against you guys. Well, give me a little something on the Angels.
Well, when the A's played them to open the season at the Coliseum and the A's won 3 out of 4, the Angels didn't have Anthony Rendon. He was out with an oblique injury. And then when he came back, he really scuffled. He was like 4 for his first 39. Now, he homered in every game against the A's. So when they get him in the lineup and batting behind Trout, when you go Trout, Rendon, Ohtani, who is not going to pitch anymore this year, but he's okay to DH, they're really potent. Obviously, Pujols is in the twilight of his career, and Justin Upton is off to a lousy start. They're fortunate they have David Fletcher. Now, David Fletcher is a Hall of Famer against the A's. They can't get him out. Remember there was that time when Jared Anderson, it looked like he was going to hit 500 every year against the A's. Well, Fletcher has become that guy. So, and Simmons hurt his ankle against the A's going back again to that July series. So I don't think they've missed Simmons a lot because Fletcher's done a really good job at short. Now, Simmons, one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. So, but offensively, they can do a lot of damage. The biggest surprise for me with their club is Dylan Bundy. You mentioned him, and he, you know, his numbers were just kind of pedestrian with the Orioles and had all the expectations that would surround a first-round pick. But now he's learned how to pitch. He's not just trying to throw fastballs by everybody. He has this great mix of pitches, and he kept the A's off balance, and he pitched a great game against the A's the other night.
Boy, last night was something, I must say. In the annals of A's, Giants, they're always close games. The home team usually has a little bit of an edge, but boy, you look at the walk-offs and Omedo signs and the Matt Cain and Lincecum and all the games we've had, Jared Parker. Last night we went down as maybe one of the best ever. Unfortunately for the Giants, they lost, but it was an amazing baseball game.
It was, and there have been some, and especially from our perspective at the Coliseum, not being there and doing the game off the television,
yeah,
that's one of the things
talk
you really miss.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really have a great feel for what's happening, even though there are no fans there. But, yeah, the Rob Nen, Olmedo signs with Jaha at second base is one of Bill King's greatest calls of all time. And then you had the A.J. Griffin's major league debut and Derek Norris's home run off Casilla. But it's gone both ways. I mean, there have been some dramatic moments on both sides for sure.
So what's it like calling a game? You know, we hear John and Dave, and they're very candid about it. When the team is on the road, it's not simple. What about for you guys?
We're not trying to fool anybody. We're not there. We were in the Coliseum last night looking at 40,000 empty seats and about 7,000 cutouts out there.
10,000.
Last night. Yeah, right. So I'm in the visiting TV booth, and Vince is in the home radio booth, and because it's a network telecast tonight, so Ray will be with us, and Ray is in the kind of auxiliary press area to my left, so we're in three different spots, but that's okay. I think the chemistry has been fine. It's just, I guess, the biggest thing, and everybody, people know that we're going to miss stuff. That's going to happen. It's just, you feel a little detached from things, because I guess my whole career in doing this, my goal has been just to kind of lock in on the field and lock in on what's going on down there. Well, now you got to lock in on a TV screen. So it's unique. It's different. I feel just a little bit off because of that. I haven't quite figured it all out yet. Hopefully that'll happen. But we're happy to be doing games, and this is the right way to do it right now. Obviously, travel is problematic, so I think that we're enjoying it, and we're happy to be able to do the ball games for the fans. I mean, that's the main thing, Marty, as you know, to try to, if we can bring a little joy and a sense of normalcy and a diversion for people who are listening, that's the motivation for me as far as doing the games.
Did you think Laureano got a proper suspension? It was cut to 4. Cintron has got 20 as the coach. You and I haven't talked about the incident yet. Bring us up to date on what you thought about the incident and the suspension.
Well, I think everybody from the A's side of things knew that Ramon would be suspended, and so did he, because even though he was clearly provoked by Cintron, and there was a great deal of frustration building on the A's side of things because they were hit by 5 pitches. And I'm not saying the Astros did it on purpose, but that doesn't sometimes lessen the frustration level when you feel like you've been target practice. So they were hit 5 times. Laureano was hit 3 times in the series and twice last Sunday. But you can't do what he did, and he was contrite. He knew it. But clearly, Cintron was the instigator. He provoked it. You can't have that kind of interaction with a coach baiting a player. And Bob Melvin said this to us the other day on one of the Zoom calls, that he meets with his coaches before every season and says, you guys, the players are not part of your world as far as bench jockeying or yelling at players or getting involved with a player in any way at all. It's really frowned upon. It's kind of an unwritten rule in the game. And so Cintron was clearly out of line. So for him to get 20 games and to see the suspension reduced from 6 down to 4 for Laureano, I think all that was apropos.
What does Laureano mean to that team? Because even last night, as Kruk was talking, the arms in the outfield, not strong. His is the strongest in center field.
He is really good. He's a dynamic player. He's a great kid, too. Plays really hard and plays with a fire, and in a very positive way, I think. He competes, and he's to win games, you have to have players who make an impact. Impactful players are important, not only in the regular season, but especially so to do well in the postseason. He's an impactful guy. He's a 5-tool player, and he does have a great arm. They're fortunate that Mark Canha can fill in center field and in the post-mortems after the game, because so much had gone on, I think it may have been overlooked that Canha made a phenomenal defensive play out there and crashed into the wall in center field in a game that turned out to be a one-run game. That was a huge play in the game.
You know, the ballpark plays differently now. You can tell from the bullpens. Longoria hit it in there. Pence hit one in there. The portals are blocked now, so the wind is different. Can you, I don't know if you could sense it not being there, but the ballpark is different now, especially with the bullpens.
Hard for us to tell from across the bay, on the other side of the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know John had mentioned that because John was on our pregame show, and he was talking about how with the archways being closed off, that it does affect the wind currents and the wind coming in off the bay. And the dimensions are a little smaller, right? Deep left center, straightaway center, right center, triples alley. When it was 421, now it's 415. But especially when it gets warm. I mean, everybody knows that in the Bay Area, and in the Coliseum especially for the day games, when the weather warms up, the ball is going to fly.
How good is this A's team, Ken?
They're really good. They think they can win a World Series. I don't know if they can or not. It would be great to have them have that opportunity, but they're really good. And they have a lot of experience in the postseason, even though they're young. But they can, and they're set up, I think, like I said, to play well during this kind of shortened season and with the new rules and the 10th inning rules because of their defense and their bullpen. They have to get some of their starting pitchers going. It looks like Manaea is going to pitch tonight, Marty, with Frankie Montas and having the upper back issue. They've got to get him going because he hasn't pitched well at all. It's really been a struggle for him. So he's really important. Lizardo last night, I think, might have been a learning experience for the kid. He's only 22, just his third major league start. But, you know, given good health, this is a team that has been put – it's the most talented team, for me, that the A's have had since the 2001 club. And you're around that club a lot. And I thought that was the team that, of all those clubs that went to the postseason, would have had the best chance maybe to advance deeply or even win a World Series. So to me, this is the most talented A's team since then.
I thought Melvin left Lizardo in one batter too much. I was surprised last night. The Longoria hit made it 6-0, I think, at that point. I thought he'd yank him, but he didn't.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I think it's fair, I think, to say that, maybe in hindsight. But I think he wants to give the kid the chance to work out of a jam. I think maybe if a pennant is on the line and you're at the end of the season, you might have managed that a little bit differently. But I think with a kid like that, maybe wanted to get him out of there on a positive note, see if he could maybe get through the inning, Marty. So I don't question a lot that Bo Mel does. I think he has a great sense, not only as a tactician, but for the psychology of situations and what's best for his players.
Gausman has a lot of success against the A's. Vinny tweeted out this morning there was a game a couple of years ago, 9 innings, a two-hit game. You look up and down the lineup, not many people have hit Gausman. He's got the big fastball, and he's got the changeup. And for an A's team that likes to hit home runs and walk, if you can two walks, 23 strikeouts, they've got a challenge today.
Well, that's true. And the A's have not swung the bats great as far as their batting average. You know, their team batting average is only around 215 for the year. So they've hit a lot of home runs and they've walked a lot. So they haven't been real robust in terms of getting a lot of base hits. And so, you know, Gausman has always been a guy that's been very impressive. I mean, there was a reason that he was so highly touted coming up in the Orioles organization. So the Giants might have caught lightning in the bottle with him. I don't think anybody's ever doubted his arm, so it could be that he might be one of these late bloomers. So I'm expecting it to be a big challenge for the A's offense against him tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good game. And Montas, Ken, is supposed to pitch tomorrow. Is that the plan?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't talked to the skipper. I'll do the manager show in about an hour and a half. So I would assume that they were hoping that he could pitch in the series. But the A's benefited from having a day off on Thursday so they could move everybody up a day and have them pitch on their regular rest. So Manaea is going on its fifth day today, and if Montas can't go tomorrow, then Fires can go on its fifth day. So they were hopeful that Montas could pitch in the series. Maybe he'll be able to go tomorrow. If not, it'd be Fires, and then Montas would pitch against the Diamondbacks in Phoenix next week.
Great. Hey, great report. Always nice to have you on. I appreciate it, and we'll see what today brings. Every day is a different day at the ballpark, and that's what we got. That's why we love baseball on a day-to-day basis, and we wish Cincinnati well. I hope things are going to be good there.
Yeah, I know they're not going to play today or tomorrow, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, some great pre- and post-game host once told me that every game is its own chapter. And the pages turn every day, right? And it's a tapestry.
A mosaic.
That's right. That's right. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens tonight, Marty.
All right. I love it.
It's great being with you, and thanks for having me on your show.
All right. Thanks, Ken. All right, that's Ken Korak, the voice of the Oakland Athletics. Bill Lasky next, right here on the Sports Leader.